Record. Don't forget. Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Had a lot of fun with this abscess tooth, whether you believe it or not. Everyone's been cracking a lot of jokes around the house, but wasn't very pleasant there for a while, but it's much better. Not as bad as it looks, let me put it that way. Let that be a lesson to you young people. This is what can happen, you know, if you don't take care of your teeth. Right, parents? Yeah. This morning, our message is on love and jealousy. Love and jealousy. We're in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, and I'd like for Larry to read the first 16 verses.
Saul's growing fear of David. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs, and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They had credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcibly on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hands, and he hurled it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall," but David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but had departed from Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men, and David led the troops in the campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. Bless these words.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, God, for those words. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come to you on bended knee this morning, praising your name. We pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will own this service and move among us, opening our hearts and minds. Pray that you will anoint my lips, and I pray that my words will not be heard, but yours will be taken into the heart this morning. Thank you for all that you do for us. We're so blessed. So blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Today we're going to look at the topic of love and jealousy found in this reading this morning. And we're going to look at that as seen through three characters. Saul, King Saul, his son Jonathan, and of course David. Jonathan, of course, is Saul's oldest son, and he's famous in the Bible for his friendship with David. And we're going to see this play out in a number of chapters here, this relationship that Jonathan has with David. Today's passage teaches many truths, but I think the most important one is the fact that love brings us closer to others.
Amen.
While jealousy and fear drives us apart. And I see these words here as very relative, very relevant, and very straight to the point. Very common sense type messages that are in here. Something that we can relate to very commonly. Love and fear. Love and jealousy. Because we're all affected by it many, many times. Love makes us seek unity in others. Love makes us put others before ourselves. Contrarily, jealousy prevents us from taking pleasure in other people's successes. You ever notice that? Have you ever felt just a little jealous about the neighbor who had the new car and you didn't have, or you know, something like that materially, where we rather than feeling good about their ability to have whatever it is, we get a little jealous, a little envious. Jealousy can make us strike out at others. Maybe not throw a spear at them, but there are many ways we can strike out against others because of jealousy. Jealousy will keep us from seeing God work in others.
Amen.
You know, if we pay attention, if we're being led by the Spirit, one of the great ways to find out God's will is observe what he's doing in other people's lives. We can learn a lot from that. And if they're growing, we ought to be joyous about that. Certainly not jealous. And jealousy will keep us from loving others as we should. Plain and simple. Now there's a common phrase that goes through, and we've heard this before already in 1 Samuel, but three times in this chapter, it is said that the Lord was with David. The Lord was with David. We see that in verse 12 when it says, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David. And then in 14, in everything he did, he had great success. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And next week, over in verse 28, the writer says, when Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that the daughter of Michal loved David, Saul became still more afraid and so forth. And it makes you wonder here. Saul's the one with the spear. Saul's the one that has tried to pin David to the wall with his spear. But in verse 12, it says Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David. A common theme throughout. And we will see that phrase used many times about David in coming chapters as well. The Lord was with David. Let's talk a minute here about this love. In verse 1, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. He loved him as himself. This began their friendship, one of the most beautiful and celebrated in all Scripture. David and Jonathan were kindred spirits, soulmates, you might say, best of friends. You know, we're fortunate today if we have a best friend. I can remember when I was growing up, that was a big deal. You know, you had to have a best friend. A best friend. Somebody that that you could count on. I'm not too sure that's as important today. Seems like young people in particular have many friends. Many friends. But I think it's fortunate today if anyone, when people have best friends. I think that's unusual, and I think it's something great to have.
Amen.
They enjoyed a special friendship, which was all the more remarkable, really, if we stop to think about it, because Jonathan was the next in line to the throne. Had Saul continued in the graces of God and continued to be king, when he died, he would have been handing over the throne to his son Jonathan. But here's the thing: knowing this, Jonathan had to know this. God was blessing David with all this success, and at the same time, Jonathan made this covenant of friendship with David. If anyone should have been jealous of David, it should have been Jonathan. Jonathan admired David. And I think he could probably relate with David, with David's courage and what it meant to step up against amazing odds and do God's work. If you'll remember, back in chapter 14, Jonathan did the very same thing. In verse 1 in chapter 14, it says, one day Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. So he takes one man with him. And then over in 13 and 14, Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men. In an area of about half an acre. Just Jonathan and his armor bearer. Jonathan stepped up in courage and did this. So I think they had a little common admiration there, probably for each other. It's hard to find an example in Scripture that's close to this love and affection that these two men had, Jonathan and David. But if we go to Genesis chapter 44, this latter part of Genesis, of course, is all kind of circling around Joseph. But in chapter 44, Joseph has schemed a way to get his brothers to repent, what this is all about. Remember, he bids his brothers farewell, and he gives them all some silver to put in their bags. And he told one of his servants to put, it says, put my cup, Joseph says to the servant, the silver one, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack, which is Benjamin. Benjamin was the last of Jacob's sons. And they had a tremendous bond together. And I know this is father and son compared to David and Jonathan. But it's still the same close, affectionate love that we see here. Over in verse 21 in Genesis 44, "Then you said to your servant, 'Bring him down to me so I can see him for myself.' And we said to my Lord, 'The boy cannot leave his father. Benjamin cannot leave his father. If he leaves him, his father will die.'" And then over in verse 30, "So now if the boy is not with us, when I go back to my servant, your servant, my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with the boy's life, closely bound up with the boy's life, sees that the boy isn't there, he will die. Your servants will bring the gray head of the father down to the grave in sorrow.'" And down to verse 14, "How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come of my father." So there's a closeness there, I think, that is similar to what we're discovering here in chapter 18, 1 Samuel, concerning David and Samuel, or David and Jonathan. Notice verse 4 in our scripture today. "Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt." Now we might compare that, if we view that as a symbol of Jonathan giving all his kingship away, that we see physically, his robe, his tunic, all of his weapons. If we see that as a symbol of Jonathan giving that over to David, humbly giving that over, we might compare that to what happened to Saul and his robe back in chapter 15, where it says, "Samuel said to him," Saul, "'The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors.'" And earlier, I'm sorry, in verse 27, "As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it was torn." His robe was torn, a symbol of his kingdom being torn from him. That's Samuel. Over here we have Jonathan giving his robe to David as a symbol of kingship. Saul's case, the kingdom of Israel was torn from Saul. In David's case, it said Jonathan, the heir to the throne, took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. What an act of genuine humility.
Amen.
Jonathan here does something that many of us aren't able to do. He is accepting the role of second fiddle, second in command, relinquishing the leadership to someone else. In fact, over in chapter 23, verse 17, Jonathan says, "You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you." Second to you. There's two cross-references, I think, that come to mind here along these lines. Psalm 133, verse 1, the psalmist says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity."
Amen.
In unity. That might be a good motto for this country today, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know. Also, Philippians 2, 1, 2. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing from the heart, from the spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Of one mind. Love is a unifying factor.
Amen.
And of course, today we have the advantage being indwelled, those who are saved by the Holy Spirit have a greater ability to seek greater unity today because of that spirit that we all hold in common, each believer has. So Jonathan makes a covenant of friendship with David. His clothes and weapons were symbolic of Jonathan's position as heir to the throne. Giving David these items was symbolic of Jonathan passing to David the right to the throne. That's what love does.
Amen.
It puts others first. It puts others first. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, I suppose the greatest evidence that we older folks here who are parents or grandparents would have is what we try to do for our children. When we raise our children, I think all of us in the back of our minds wanted to say, well, you know, I want to give my children more than we had. I want to make their life easier than what we had. Well, I want to make sure I'd lead them to the throne of grace much more than possibly my own parents did. So we see that. It plays out. We try to equip our kids for a better life. However, as Christians, we should actually prefer to honor others, whoever they are, above ourselves.
Amen.
Now let's move to jealousy. Jealousy. Saul starts giving David more task to do, and as for all the people, including Saul's own troops and officers as well, David becomes a national hero. Sends him out on all these, and we're going to hear about some of these later on here in our study. All these battles, he's always successful. Perhaps, though, Saul is making it easier for David to be killed in battle. We stop to think about it. That might be his real motive here. Saul was not pleased with this idea of David's popularity because his jealousy prevents him from taking pleasure in other people's success. James chapter 3, verse 14 through 16, James says, but if you harbor bitter envy, and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and self-ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice.
Amen.
Every evil practice. It's easy to see why Saul is afraid of David. It should have been evident to everyone that God had given the young shepherd the victory over the giant Goliath. David demonstrated unusual wisdom in every position assigned to him. And it says in verse 5, whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. Then, of course, Another thing that made him afraid was the song that the women sang. The fact that Saul had taken care of 1,000, David had conquered 10,000. Theodore Roosevelt once said, comparison is the thief of joy.
Amen.
Wonder what he meant by that. Mm-hmm. Comparison is the thief of joy. It takes joy away. It's hard to count your own blessings when you're so busy counting someone else's. God wants us to take joy in what he is doing in our lives without comparing ourselves to other people, anyone else. There's only one kingdom. And if you stop to think about it, how can we be jealous that someone else is advancing God's kingdom?
Amen.
Why should we? Romans 12:3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Don't compare yourself to others. If you want to compare yourself to somebody, why not the perfect example?
Amen.
Jesus. I like Proverbs 27:21. Praise is like a hot furnace. It reveals what a person is made of. The praise that made David humble only brought into view Saul's heart and revealed his pride and desire for glory. His true motives came forth. I think this jealousy that Saul is demonstrating here, starting in his chapter, began back in, actually in chapter 15, when Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord has torn your kingdom of Israel away from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors." Perhaps Saul thinks he's met his neighbor in David. And all that is left for him, he's thinking in the back of his mind, is my kingdom. And soon he will have that as well. Jealousy can destroy a marriage. It can disrupt a family. It can ruin a business. I've seen it create chaos in church leadership.
Amen.
Solomon said, "Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand against jealousy?" Jealousy can also eventually make us strike out at others. And it commonly works its way out, doesn't it? Our jealousy. We can't keep it under wraps. It festers long enough till it has to come out. And as I said before, it may not come out in the way of a spear throwing at it, but it may come out in ugly words or hurtful actions. There are a number of so-called sin lists in the Bible. And the order of the sins listed, I think, is very interesting. In Romans 1:29, the list is, they are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Out of all those sins, what's first? Envy. In Galatians 5:20, the list is, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions. Once again, of utmost importance is jealousy. Jealousy. Jealousy leads to fear. Not like the fear that we looked at last week when people feared when Goliath came out and stood wanting to fight someone. Not that kind of fear. This kind of fear is the fear of being left out. A fear that the other person will get all the attention. The fear that the other person will get the credit or the honor. The fear of being dismissed or overlooked.
Amen.
In our passage today, as we find many times in God's Word, God gives us a glaring contrast for our own spiritual growth. There are many examples of this in Scripture. Contrast, showing the difference. Here, Saul hardened himself in his sin. Instead of humbling himself before God and judging himself for the sin which had caused God's Spirit to leave him, he remained unrepentant. David, the other side of the contrast, at a later time, was broken before God on account of his sin. Example of that is Psalm 51, which is all about David's contriteness. In verse 3 and 4, he says, he calls out to God and he says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." Then over in 11 and 12, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." You see the difference between Saul and David there. One solidly hardened in his sin, unrepentant, and David confessing not only the sin of others, but the sin against primarily God as being of utmost importance.
Amen.
In closing, just a few observations of these verses. Notice the word "everything" in verse 14. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. In everything. I think this is a foreshadowing of Christ. Where it is said of him in Mark chapter 7, verse 37, "People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well," they said. Victory didn't come from David's looks or achievements, but because the Lord was with him.
Amen.
Next, we can't love someone if we are jealous of them or afraid that God is going to use them instead of us. And if we can't love someone, then God can't use us anyways. Let us ask God to help us put our jealousies and fears behind and start loving people instead.
Amen.
Next, every time the word "king" is mentioned in the Old Testament, God is pointing forward to the one who will come. That's David's greatest son. He's the one that is going into battle for us. He's the only one that breaks the power of canceled sin. He's the only one who walks right into death and triumphs over it. He's the only one whose presence brings fullness of security and joy. Verse 16, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. All of Judah and Israel. These people really, really loved David. This raises a question for us this morning. Do I really love Jesus? He's our King.
Amen.
Am I prepared to take my stand at his side? Or am I ashamed of him? Am I willing for him to cover me with his robe of righteousness? Let us contemplate this question this morning in silence. This question posed here today, do I really love Jesus? As we commune with him in his supper. Claude, would you come, and Russ? Thank you. That night in the upper room, Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "This cup is the covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, we just want to share how we really feel about you here this morning. We know that our love for you is doesn't hold a candle to your love for us. We can't imagine that love. We can't imagine that love that took you to the cross and your death for our sins. We just pray here this morning, Lord, that we will act out this love and affection that we have for you, that we will reflect your light to others, that when people see us, they will say, "I want a piece of that. I want a piece of their security, the love that they share, the affection that they share, the security that they have under this grace that is freely given by you." Thank you, Lord. Over and over again, Lord, we pray that we can be more thankful for your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our final hymn is 127, "Hallelujah, What a Savior." 127. This morning, Lanny, can I ask you to take us to the throne, please?
Father, we do thank you today just for the opportunity to be here and fellowship one with the other. Father, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Be, Lord, with these prayer requests that we've had on our bulletin today, people that are really in need, families, lost loved ones. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and your comfort that you give to us. Father, be with us as we travel home. Give us safe traveling mercies. Bring us again, Father, the next time to fellowship together and to praise your name. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Usually gone that much, like especially in 1 month. Yeah, I had to go to Michigan for the Lord, and we have like our retreat. Yeah, we Scotland, I went out to see my nephew. He's running cross country in Iowa. So, yeah, so they're clear out there. That's my youngest brother, Jack. So he has three kids. Kanan is a freshman in high school. So he was on They're good. Yeah, Joe, or John just got married a little over a year ago. He's in Savannah building houses. They're just kind of newlyweds enjoying that. And then Tim and Jill, who live in Ohio, he's just younger than me. He has three kids, two of them are at WVU. Yeah, they've been married for 3 years. You know, they got married in college. Andy just came to Washington, so he's around. Anna's getting married. She's graduating. So they're getting married in April. Yeah. Anna's just finishing up, and she's getting back to work. So I can figure out where they're going to end up. So everybody's good, but Tim and Jill are empty nesters for the first time. So like all the kids are out. So I think that's been. It's been a good adjustment. Yeah, I'm sure there's good things about it, but it's also a lot of fun. Yeah. They're good. My dad's just got down to Florida again. So. Well, they have a house here, Melbourne, just north of Melbourne. Like north of Miami. Yeah, on the beach. And they also have a place in Iowa. So they go there like in the spring and fall, and then they actually have a couple houses in Miami, so they'll go back there in the summer. Now they're just, I guess, so they're finally getting to the point where they're like, we can't drive all the time. But he doesn't like to slow down. Yeah, so I think eventually they'll be down in Florida, kind of year round. They've got a condo that's close to the beach. Down there, maybe. Like you couldn't find parking space. I she's like senior level. Wouldn't ever play it. Wow. But they're doing well. He has knee issues. He's a runner, his whole life. So he had a really bad knee, so he got that replaced. So he's been going through that for tons better in terms of like the ground, pain and all that. So he's kind of. I haven't really talked to her. No, she texted me. I mean, she wanted to take a gap year. She went to WVU for semester. Didn't really like what she was doing. Yeah, so she kind of dropped out since she wanted to take a gap year. So she'd been working at Goodwill and one of the restaurants downtown. And she'd moved out. I mean, she's got her own apartment with a friend from high school. So she's been doing that. And then she texted me a couple months ago and was like, asking if I'd help her with online college, pay for that. She wanted to go back to her job. And I told her, I said, I just need more information. I said, I don't know if these for-profit online schools are worth the money. And so she kind of got a little snippy with me, trying to guilt me into doing it. And I'm like, don't try and guilt me into this. Like, I just need more information. She wanted to. So she's mad at me about that because I wouldn't give her this like check. And I called her out. I said, like, you try to guilt me into this. I asked her for more information before you did this. So right now that's where we're at. She's not talking to me. She just needs a lot of prayer. Spiritually, she's been influenced by me.
Hey, that's
Miss Meat. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. She really does. So, anyway, yeah, just keep praying for us. Yeah, I mean, that's the main thing. Yeah. We're trying to get a family vacation together for next summer. Yeah, like from all the brothers. Well, she's always coming. Yeah.
So, all right. Russell, you have a good week.
You too.
I mean, it's a lot of Jesus talk, but, you know, that's what she needs. You know, she needs you. So we'll see. Maybe by the summer, you know, next summer, she'll be ready to come around.
You too. Have a good week.
Way to keep yourself busy with all week.
I work part of the day, half a day.
Oh, you're okay. So you're
and then Mike takes the other half to help us.
Then the other half you're up helping these guys out.
No problem. Just Amanda, maybe we'll do it.
Yeah. The days are coming when you keep doing it.
Oh, yeah. That, I hope not as long as a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you look like you're in good shape.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, he's
in good shape.
So will your kids make it back for the holidays? Corn out off the side of their woods down in the woods. And he's like, he popped up, he's like, there's a buck out there. And he ran and got his bow and he shot it from the porch. Put it right through it and it ran off down the valley and ravine there, and they found it and dragged it out. And then Mark, a couple of days ago, I barred on my thing, he's got like a wheel off of there, you can on the door of the lake, kind of bait down there. And you know, he got up here in the morning, and I got a text at about 7 o'clock. He's like, hey, I got a deer, it fell over in your front yard. I was like, all right. So I go out there, and the deer was out in the front yard.
Well, is it bow season?
Bow season. So they're just hunting with bows, you know. So he got one of those feet.
You talk about being on the edge of your world.
Yeah.
Well, we got a Cooper's Rock State Forest. It's like right behind us, you know. So there's, I mean, we've had so many deer this year.
They're all bows. We're going to enjoy that.
That's the best meat.
Hey, you two guys have a great week.
Yeah, you too.
We'll talk to you soon. Okay. I should be around more. I may go to Thanksgiving to Ohio, but other than that, I'll be here for the dinner.
Oh, okay.
So, good
holidays.
All right. Yeah.
Can I get that light off? Yeah, okay.